Hallelujah. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way. Hallelujah. Well, that's lofty talk, isn't it? That's lofty talk. Where he leads, there's not a whole lot of times you really want to be there. I heard a preacher one time talking about a lady came up to him and said, "Pastor, you just don't know what I'm going through." He said, "Woo, hallelujah." She got offended. She said, "But you don't know what I'm going through." He said, "Hallelujah." She got all huffy and puffy. She just couldn't believe he was shouting while she was going through something. He said, "Lady, you're testifying of your own victory. You're going through it. You're not stuck in it." Amen. Praise God. We're going to get through it. Amen. If you would, read with me in the book of Revelation 22 and also 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Revelation 22, just one verse there and one verse in 1 Corinthians 12. Revelation 22 and 17, if you want to stand for the reading of the Word, I invite you to. "And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let him that heareth say, 'Come.' And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 13. The Bible says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Amen. Praise God. You can be seated. I want to talk tonight about the thirst quencher. You know, there are so many things that make us different. All of God's anointed men are bald-headed. We know that. And then there's Brother Carey and Brother Fouts and Brother Jack and all these other guys. But there's the contenders and the pretenders. But of all the things that make us different, there is so much about us that is exactly alike. In fact, usually the things I dislike in others are the things that I see in them that I am guilty of myself. And it grits on me because I see them doing it the way I would do it. But then somehow I always shroud it by saying, "I would never do it that way." When you do it just like they did. Because though we're different, there's so much about us that is the exact same. We are one body and we've been formed in the image of God. And we've all, black, white, fat, skinny, bald, hairy, we have all been called and appointed to drink of that one Spirit. Amen. Aren't you glad the Holy Ghost is non-discriminate? Amen. Aren't you glad that God is so wide-reaching in all of His power and might that there's not one human being ever born of woman that is without reach of the hand of God? The power of God moving in their lives. Jesus told the woman at the well that if she would drink of the waters of eternal life, she would never thirst for eternal life again. Now, let us not confuse being thirsty for eternal life to mean that our spirits never get thirsty. We don't get thirsty for eternal life because we have drank of it. We have tasted it. We have received it. And so you don't have to keep getting saved every time you come to the altar. Now, I know there are some folks who have to ride the altar, but that's not God's plan. God's design and plan was that you drink of this water and never thirst again. That you get saved and you stay saved. What a novel plan. One man said Pentecostals believe in backsliding so much they practice it. The lady at the well, when she took a drink of eternal life, she was satisfied. She had a home in heaven. We were singing about that home a little while ago. And what a wonderful testimony that I'm ready to meet the Lord. Thank God I've got a home on the other side, and whether it's going to be a chariot or a train or whatever it is, good old gospel ship, whatever it is that God decides to take me to heaven in, I'm going to get there and I'm going to have a robe and a crown and a house with my name on the door. Amen. I'm looking forward to this heavenly kingdom, this eternal life that I have promised to me because I took a drink of eternal life at the wells of salvation. But even those who have eternal life get thirsty, parched, dry. I recently read some portions in a book by Max Lucado called Come Thirsty. I recommend the book. And there are some things I'm going to mention here tonight that I have pulled out of that book. But as it is ministered in my spirit, I feel like that God is calling the church, and let me just be real specific, calling the Pentecostal church back to the wells of water. Amen. Calling us back to that spring of the Holy Spirit that ought to be bubbling within us, but for whatever reason, we find ourselves in a dry, deserted land. A while ago, Brother Capps was talking about how Paul testified, and even now the words are coming forth that in the last days perilous times shall come. I got a warning or a revelation. They're not coming. They're here. They are here. It's already a done deal. It doesn't take necessarily a divine interruption in a service to let us recognize that we are living in perilous times, that hearts of men are waxing worse and worse, and sin is on a rampage all around us. We're living in a thirsty land. Amen. When you consider that we're living in a nation that has become so dry, the Bible, Jesus said that when a demon has gone out of a man, he goes into a dry place. Well, America must certainly be a dry place with all of the satanic activity that is going on in our land. A nation built on the principles of Scripture and the leadership of men who believed in God, in the God that we serve, now you can pray in the name of any other God except Jesus Christ. To invoke the name of Jesus is to set oneself against the mainstream philosophies of secular humanism. We are living in a dry and thirsty land. When it's more celebrated when a homosexual comes out of the closet than it is for a preacher to cry against that abominable sin, you can know that we're living in a dry and thirsty land. Amen. You go to work, you go to the store, you just drive down the road, and even in the middle of a rainstorm, you can feel it. You can taste the grit in your mouth, and you can sense the sensation all over your spirit that everything around you is crying out for a touch of God. Everything around you is asking for some kind of nutrition. We come to church and we choke our way through. We choke down some songs and we choke down some preaching and we choke down a prayer or two, and then we go on panting and sweating, and we wonder why we're pining away. We wonder why we're not experiencing the great awakenings that those that preceded us did. I want to tell you, we're living in a thirsty land, and men who live in thirsty land becomes a thirsty man. Thirsty men is what we are. You see, the human body is 80% fluid. That means I'm carrying around 205 pounds of water. Take away the water, I'm only 50 pounds or so. Take away the water and see what happens. Amen? Stop drinking and coherent thoughts will vanish. Stop drinking and skin grows clammy. Stop drinking and vital organs wrinkle and cease to work properly. Sounds like some churches I've been to. You see, your eyes need fluid just to cry. Your mouth needs moisture just to swallow. Your glands need water for sweat to keep your body cool. Your cells need fluid or blood to carry life to them. Your joints need fluid for lubrication. And God wired us with a low fluid indicator. And when the fluids get low in our bodies, the signals flare up. It starts out with a dry mouth. And then you get a thick tongue. And then you get this aching head, and then you get weak in the knees, and you begin to pine away. You don't drink for a while, and you're going to get some fluid indicators, low fluid indicators going off in your body. Well, let me tell you, when the soul gets thirsty, there are some other indicators that will flare. Dehydrated hearts send desperate messages. Snarling tempers, waves of worry, growling mastodons of guilt and fear, hopelessness, sleeplessness, loneliness, resentment, irritability, insecurity. All of these are warning signs and symptoms of dryness deep within the heart of a man. Listen, perhaps you've never viewed these things as an indicator of a low spiritual condition. Some people think it's just a matter of genetics. Some people are bald by genetics. Others are blue-eyed and some just fret. It's just a part of who I am. A man in Kansas City said, well, that's just the Spee's way. We all have a bad temper. I said, well, if you'd get it prayed through, it wouldn't pass on to the next generation. He didn't like that a whole lot. Some things we count as genetics is nothing more than an indicator that your spirit is thirsty for a drink at the well of life. Amen. Anxiety, fear, these things are not the will of God for the people of God. We live our lives so stressed out and freaked out, and we wonder if God really knows what He's doing. Half the time we think God is off His rocker. He's lost His mind. He's not watching us. I'm sorry if you happen to like it. I hate that song that Christy Lane sang. And God, if you know, if you're looking below, it's worse now than then. We know He's looking below. We know He knows everything about us. We know that He knows what we're going through. Nothing's caught Him off guard. Nothing has shocked Him. The reality is, my friend, we are living in a condition that is of our own choosing. It's not God's will for you to be so downtrodden and so depressed and so beaten down and so beaten back. It's not God's will for the devil to have his foot on your throat and his spear in your side. It's not God's will for the church of the living God to pine away in a little corner somewhere and hope that the rest of the world will just leave us alone. There are some clear indicators in the church world, and I'm talking about you, and I'm talking about me, that we don't have what we say we have. We're not walking in the power that we profess. We're not living in the anointing that we preach about. If we were, we would not be thirsty, but more than that, we would be putting some kind of a moisture in the world in which we're living. I tell you, we're living in a dry and thirsty land, and we have become thirsty men and women, thirsty for the Word, thirsty for the will of God, thirsty for the power of the Holy Ghost, thirsty for signs and wonders. Oh, listen, my friend, while the emotions of life come and sweep over us, and every now and then we feel the sensations of terror and dread, I tell you, we serve a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. I tell you that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every voice that rises in judgment against you will be condemned. That's the Word of God. And if that is, then why are we so scared? It's because we're thirsty. We're living in a dry and thirsty land. Now, wait a minute, preacher. I want you to pump me up. I'm not cutting you down. I happen to be thirsty myself. I'm past that point of just needing a drink. The Lipton plunge, believe me, we go through a gallon of tea a day at our house. Plus sometimes. The Lipton plunge, it's just not going to do it. And as much as I love Mountain Dew, the dew ain't going to do. Powerade, no, it's not going to cut the mustard. We have come to that place, and some of us, it is so critical. There are some marriages that if they would just take a drink of the Spirit of God, their marriage would be saved. There are some people that are contemplating suicide that if they just take a drink. Just a couple weeks ago, a dear friend of my daughter's at a Christian school was dropped off by her daddy at a basketball practice. And by the time she finished basketball practice, word came back to her that that same daddy that dropped her off went home and blew his brains out. Oh, we're living in a dry and a thirsty land. And men and women are so dry and empty. And they're trying to find something to fill the void. Listen, you know good and well what you do when you're thirsty in your body. You go in the house, you fill your glass with ice, you go and run the tap and you just shake it so the ice will make the water good and cold. And then you lift it to your lips and you drink it down as fast as you can while the water's still running out the tap. And you throw the glass back under and you shake it again and fill it up and you take another drink. Well, listen, if it's good enough for the body, then why is it good enough for the soul? Why don't you just do what you do normally, when you get thirsty? Why not go to the spout where the glory comes out? Why not put your mouth in that open position and say, God, open space right here. I've got some vacancy. I need the power of God. I need the glory of your anointing. I need the freshness of your touch. My spirit is dry. My heart is cold. It seems like my soil is parched. I need the rain of God to fall in my life. In John chapter 7, the Bible tells us of one of the few times that Jesus opened up and just screamed. John chapter 7, verse 37. The Bible said, in the last days, or in the last day of that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. That means he shouted. Most of the time he taught. Somehow we Pentecostals have mistaken screaming for the anointing. But on this particular occasion, he got stirred up and he screamed. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. I wish we could hear the emphasis of what he was trying to say there that day. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of water. He was so emphatic. He wanted to make his point. You see, the feast that they were celebrating was the remembrance feast of when Moses commanded the water to come out of the rock and it filled the valley there and fed the Israelites on their trek from Egypt to the promised land. This was an annual feast, and on the great day, the last day of the feast, as they celebrated the memory of that miraculous outpouring of water, Jesus looked around and he saw people kind of like you and like me. He saw people that was living on the memories of what had happened, the memories of what used to be, the memories of what their grandmas and grandpas told them about. They read about this in a book. They saw this somewhere on a billboard. They celebrated this history every year. They'd come together and they'd tell the same story over and over and over. Oh, I always love it when you tell that story. Oh, I just love it. That story always blesses me. I'm reminded of that great English preacher, Albert Hibbert. He said he took a church, and the church that he was in had two exit doors, one on this side and one on that side. And there was two families that came to church. One of them filled up this side and one of them filled up this side. Neither one of them ever shook hands. They all came in their particular door and went out their particular door, and they never had any interaction. Church would get going good and somebody would stand up over here and testify about the revival of 1914. And they would tell a good story, and then somebody over here would stand up and try to top their story about the revival of 1914. And then somebody would get up over here and try to top that one, and you get the point. He said this happened service after service, and I got fed up with it. One night after two or three people tried to outdo the other one, he said, I stood up and I said, shut up! I'm tired of hearing about the revival of 1914. What about now? He said one of the matriarchs of one of the families stood up. Tears began to flow down her cheeks. She looked across the aisle at the matriarch of the other side, and she said, I don't even remember what we're fighting about. They met in the middle. They hugged. They kissed. Their sons and daughters and grandchildren began to fall into the center aisle, and they had a current day revival. Well, listen, Jesus got so fed up at looking at all these people that all they had was the memory of what used to be and this warm, fuzzy feeling of this spiritual, religious activity of this remembrance service, if you will, this good old homecoming, this good old fellowship rally. Let's just remind ourselves of where we've been and what we've done. Jesus could not help himself. He didn't say, please now, would you give me your attention? All right, now, I'd like to say something. They probably did it the way you have to on the bus every now and then. Jesus said, shut up and listen to me. I'm tired of hearing about Azusa Street. I'm tired of hearing about what happened in Topeka, Kansas. And I'm tired about hearing about the Cane Ridge revivals. I'm tired about hearing what happened in 1983 or 1984. I'm tired of hearing it. I want to know what's going on now. He said, don't you know? If you're thirsty, all you have to do is come to me. Don't you believe in me? Don't you know that I am the wellspring? How emphatic does he have to get? He closed out the book, the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, saying the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that is thirsty come. And let him drink of the water of life freely. The Lord has opened up the spout. I know there are perilous times. I understand there's a great falling away. But I also believe Acts chapter 2. I believe the word of the prophet Joel that in the last days saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, upon your sons and your daughters, upon your men servants and your maid servants. All your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. I believe in the word of God that tells me that there is a coming rain that will be bigger and better than the former rain. For it's going to be the former rain and the latter rain together. The glory of God is looking for somebody to pour out in. Are you thirsty? Do you have the indicators flaring? You can't get along with that spouse of yours. You and your kids have a wedge between you. That employer just gets under your skin. That teacher just drives you insane. Do you have any signals that are going off? That preacher just can't ever, hardly ever preach a good message. Out of 15 years of preaching, I don't know of one message that ever stirred me to go to the altar. Clear indicator. You're that close to dead. Amen. Are the indicators going off? I'm just too poor to pay my tithe. Are the indicators going off? We've tried everything. All we have left is prayer. I tell you, there are some clear indicators in my life that I hear the voice of God echoing from the glory world. And he's not whispering, Brother Emery. I hear him shouting. I hear him screaming, Brian, you know what you need. Why aren't you getting it? You know it's in the book. Why aren't you reading it? You know you'll find it on your knees. Why aren't you praying? I got too much going on. I'm too involved. I've got this. I've got that. You just don't understand, God. I'll have time to drink a little bit later. I'm telling you, if some of us put off a drink one more day, it's going to be the death of our spirit, man. We're going to hear that cry from heaven that said, depart from me. I know you not. Hey, I know you took a drink at the waters of salvation, but oh, we're living in a dry land and I've become a dry man. How about you? Well, in the middle of a dry land, the psalmist said that there is a river that flows in the city of God and it makes glad the saints of God. Listen, Jesus said, I am the well of living water. If you'll take a drink from me, I'll quench that thirst. I don't know about you tonight, but I'd like to get under the spout where the glory of God is coming out. I hear what Paul is saying. We've all been made to drink of that one spirit. You want to know what's going to quench your thirst? It's not going to be a new pastor. It's not going to be a new style. It's not going to be new pews, although they're beautiful. What's going to quench your thirst is an old time deluge of the glory of God, where the saints fall on their knees and begin to seek the face of God, lifting up holy hands, opening up our mouths and saying, fill me, God. Fill me here. Fill me now. Something about water. When you open up your mouth and it hits the back of your throat and it traces down, somehow it gets to the tips of your fingers. That skin that was all clammy. Somehow, water that's following the flow of gravitational pull going down, somehow it gets to here and it stops your head from aching. Somehow, that constant flow, that drink, that moisture, that refreshing touch of God, it gets to every extremity of your life. And things that were dead or dying suddenly come to life again. I want you to stand with me tonight. Greater men than you and me headed west, seeking gold. Many of them made it as far as the desert. And their dream fell to dust because they were dry. I'm telling you, we're in the middle of the Bible Belt, but the Bible Belt is parched. When's the last time you felt a rush of the glory of God? I was talking to a man today. He was telling me about a church somewhere. He was telling me about this building and that building and how they got that and this. And I'm sorry. I've taken my last church that doesn't have a moving of the Spirit. I really don't care about the accommodations, and I don't care about all of the wherewithal and the means. I want my kids covered in the glory of God. A few months ago, Brianna called me. She was at a youth camp, and about 10:30 at night, I answered the phone. She was sobbing on the other end of the line, and she said, Daddy, God called me to be a missionary tonight. That's all I care about. I know there are churches that need reviving, and I'm sorry, I'll leave that to somebody else. I want a church that is hungry for God. I want a church that all they want is just the glory of God. If we never get past the first song, if we never get to the first song, if the preacher preaches 20 minutes or if he preaches 2 hours, just so it's under the anointing of the glory of God. All I care about is that when the sick walk into our church, they leave healed. All I care about is when the sinner walks in our building, that he leaves saved, like Kenneth Johnson did several years ago, about 50 some years ago, walked into church down in Water Valley, as drunk out of his mind as he could be, staggered his way down to the altar, and when he got done praying, he was as sober as he could be, and he never took another drink for the rest of his life. I tell you, we're serving the same God, Brother Capps. He's the same God that we celebrated in days gone by. There's no reason why you can't be anointed of the Holy Ghost tonight. I want dry and thirsty men and women to come and find your place where the water's flowing. For there is a river. There is a river. If you're thirsty, you don't have to be. You don't have to be. A while ago, Brother Jack said, I'm ready. I'm ready. Are you ready? I'm here to tell you, there's a drink waiting for you. There's a drink just the right size for you. There's enough that you can get filled up tonight. Fill us again, Lord. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'd like to invite you to come to this altar and begin to pray for the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. If you have received, then I want you to pray for a brand new baptism, a fresh flow of the glory of God in your life tonight.
That flows from deep within. There is a fountain, and it frees the soul from sin. Come to this water, for there is a vast supply. frees the soul from sin. Won't you come to these waters? I know there is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. A river, my heart's been thirsting so long. Flood through my soul and pour out your mercy. Oh, come, living water, flow through me like a river. My heart's been thirsty so long. Flood through my soul. My cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Oh, here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Here's my cup, Lord. Up, Lord. I've had it all, but what I need is just more of you. Of things I've had my fill, but yet I hunger still, empty and bare. Lord, hear my prayer for more of you. I want more of you. I need more of you. I've had it all, but what I need is just more of you. Of things I've had my fill, but yet I hunger still. Lord, I'm so empty and bare, but please hear my prayer for more of you. I need more of you. So much more of you. I've had it all, but what I need is just more of you. Of things I've had my fill, but yet I hunger still. Lord, I'm empty and bare. Please hear my prayer for more of you. I need more of you. So much more of you. For I've had it all, need is just more of you. Of things I've had my fill, but yet I hunger still. You see I'm empty and bare. Lord, hear my prayer.